All right, everybody, welcome to BO Boys for Thursday, April 25th. Fuck it, it's a raw feed. We're doing it live. I'm Clayton.
Yeah, I'm Pat. All right, Clayton, this is a big one. This is a big preview. Mm-hmm. It's a movie we've been talking about, anticipating for months and months and months and months.
Most anticipate?
I would say this is the BO Boys' most anticipate movie of the spring, right? If summer starts next week with The Fall Guy and spring ends this weekend, this is it. Most anticipate, more than the collab, more than Dune 2, more than Civil War. This mm-hmm. is it. Because Challengers, starring Zendaya, opens this Friday. I mean, it opens tonight. When you're listening to this episode now on the Thursday, it's Thursday night preview time for Challengers. Mm-hmm. And this is a big one. You know, we had our Civil War preview a couple of weeks ago, and that went the way it went, Clayton. We predicted what we predicted, and the movie opened to what it opened to. But after that one, we said, Challengers is the one. And yeah. Here we are. So are you excited? Just put aside, take off the BO hat for a second. Put on just the, you know, you were born just a baby who loves movies. As a baby who loves movies grown up, are you excited for Challengers?
Yeah, I mean.
You're a large baby who's grown up.
It's a large baby who's grown up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm moderately excited for Challengers. Okay. I wouldn't say that I'm more box office excited than I am real life excited, to be honest.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're a baby who's grown up, but baby who quickly started following the top 10 movies of the weekend in the local newspaper, interest in box office. That's where you're at.
Yeah.
When it comes to Challengers. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I can't unmix the two. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing this film tonight.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this film with my wife. And
so that's two pre-sales.
Yeah. So we could track those. I mean, listen, the screening room I'm seeing it in is now officially sold out.
Okay.
So if you're a wannabe-o boy, wannabe-o girl, wannabe-o person who wanted to join me seeing this film tonight, you just wouldn't be able to. Either you already are or you ain't.
But to be fair, it is a smaller theater that you're going to. You're not going to a megaplex. This is not going to be something that has like hundreds of seats available for people.
It's not a mall theater. I'm not seeing Challengers tonight in the Mall of America.
Yeah.
You know, where there is a balcony and a mezzanine and, seating. I'm not seeing it in IMAX tonight.
Yeah.
But to say that the people who live where I live, excited to see this film. Mm-hmm. The coastal elites are here to see it. And it's a tennis. I mean, it's Zendaya. Luca Guadagnino movie, which I don't think he matters other than he lends like a sheen of credibility to the movie.
Yeah.
And it's all about her. It's a romantic drama. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something to dig into first, Clayton. We saw Anyone But You with big rising star and Sydney Sweeney become a big hit, you know, the beginning of this year. But that was a romantic comedy, even though, you know, we both have seen it isn't very funny, but it is a romantic comedy.
Yeah, I mean, its intention was to be a romantic comedy. And I think for a lot of people, it did fulfill that intention.
Yes, exactly. And the intention here, though I've seen Challengers listed as a romantic comedy in certain articles, certain preview articles, I think it might have been the Deadline article, did note this as a romantic comedy. Yes, the R-rated tennis romantic comedy Challengers. That is how Anthony D is for Disney, D'Alessandro, listed it. But I honestly haven't gotten that feel in any of the marketing that this is a comedy. It's a snappy, sort of sexy drama. Maybe not sex drama, but sexy drama.
I mean, I don't want to harp on such a... I mean, I would say insignificant detail, but I don't think that's insignificant to have in one of the biggest trades mislabeling a movie, because all of this director's other films, probably the only one that could be looked at as like comedy is A Bigger Splash. Even that, and I guess Bones and All had its sense of humor, but Suspiria, Call Me By Your Name, these are not comedies. And so to call this a comedy, I mean, is this an attempt to anyone but you it? Is this like a, hey, say it's a comedy, Anthony, and we'll, you know, here's a few greenbacks.
Like, oh, you're going that? Okay, you think that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, okay. Maybe they're thinking, oh, anyone but you did so well. Let's make people think this is a comedy. Because you're right, the marketing does not at all make this seem like it's going to be a comedy. I mean, it could be characters saying, you know, harsh things to each other in a funny way, possibly. But I would never be like, hey, let's go to that comedy movie tonight.
Right.
If this movie's number one, are they going to say the number one comedy movie in America is Challengers? No.
I think that's what they then would try and say if somehow, I mean, we'll get to our predictions later.
Snivel War still holds.
Right. If Snivel War comes in first and then they scramble, we got to make lemonade out of this, and it's Challengers is the number one comedy in America.
Yeah. I mean, that is possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, could Anthony D is for misleading D'Alessandro have been setting Challengers up to save face with their second weekend marketing campaign that they're the number one comedy in America? I don't know. That's 4D chess right there, if that's what that single line in the Deadline article was doing.
Yeah,
but either way, the audience, I don't think, is taking this as a comedy. Like, what do you think? You know, again, trying to put on just the hat of someone who's a movie fan who was once a baby, grown up baby, likes movies. How do you see the audience is receiving this movie? Like, what is the marketing telling them that they're going to get out of going to see Challengers?
Because I think
Zendaya.
That's all that matters. The two guys don't matter. Tennis is maybe for the people in the stacks, the stacks dwellers, the earth dogs. They're the plain billies. They're not tennis fans, right?
Yeah.
So I think the fact that Zendaya is such a big star is going to be the draw here. It'll live and die by, do people want to see Zendaya in this role or not? Honestly, because when you think of tennis movies that have succeeded, I mean, Match Point, although when we talk about Match Point, it's not a movie that, you know, did boffa boffa bobo, right?
No. Well, I actually have, I mean, just staying on tennis movies.
Let's do it.
I was looking through the history of tennis movies, and it is pretty bleak. I was surprised, and obviously listeners, write us at the BO Boys Podcast at gmail.com if I forget anything major here, but it is surprising how few big tennis movies there have been released. And I found three that I think really are good comps to this, because there's three movies from the last 25 years or so that all starred actresses who were right in the, I would say, in their Zendaya period of like breaking as big stars, you know, like young fan bases that loved them at that time. And so one of the things I guess these young actresses want to do is get me in a tennis movie. And studios are like, get him on a tennis court, get him in a tennis outfit. So
I'll tell you why that is.
Okay.
Because tennis is one of the few sports in America where women can be as big of stars as men.
Right.
I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that that's sort of how it is in America. It's also a solo sport, so you're able to be the solo star,
right?
In that sense, right?
Right. Right.
And so, I mean, I don't think I also don't. I mean, I don't think we're far away from a, you know, female soccer movie that will have a bunch of stars in it, because I think women's soccer is very big in America. But like tennis at the moment, when you think of big tennis stars, you're also thinking about a lot of women, where you're, you know, where there's no female football league at the moment. You know, WNBA is now sort of like, I mean, they're going to have a really big star coming in now, so they might become more popular. But I think tennis is like the one.
Right. Do you think Hollywood looks at Caitlin Clark and says, we got to get her to act? I'm sure that's happening. And we got to get her in a tennis movie. Or do you think they'll have Caitlin Clark play basketball in a
one? That's a good question. If Challengers does well, sorry, right, Caitlin, you're going to have to learn how to swing a tennis racket, which I'm sure she'll probably be really good at. You know, she'll be able to be great enough at it to fake it.
Yes, but the acting would be the thing that the unknown.
That would be the tough thing. She'd be like, I can swing this racket. Like, don't freaking like, you know, patronize me.
Fuck off. Yeah.
Fuck off. You know, she likes to say that to people, I've heard, in a fun way. A fun way.
Yes. Yeah. But the acting with Caitlin Clark in a tennis movie, that's the variable. But these tennis movies starring these young starlets do not have a great box office history. So,
well, I know of one of them because I watched it fairly recently.
Oh, okay. I'm going to guess, did you watch Battle of the Sexes recently with Emma Stone?
No.
Okay, so that movie, that movie came out in 2017. That's the most recent of the three. And its total box office was $12 million domestically. Its first weekend of wide release, it only made $3.4 million. And that's Emma Stone, I think, coming right off of the La La Land win.
Yes.
And La La Land was a legit huge hit, and that was her follow-up, and it tanked. It was supposed to be an Oscar, supposed to be her next La La Land, an Oscar movie that does well at the box office, and that thing tanked.
And it also had Steve Carell, who at that time was very hot because he had come off of several Oscar nominations as well.
Right, and he had an Oscar nomination as the wrestling coach, so people thought, oh, Steve Carell, he's the sports movie guy. And I will say,
fun movie. Yes,
fun movie. I would say best use of Steve Carell in a movie, in my opinion.
You're just not a fan.
Definitely not a fan. Definitely not a fan. But a good use of him in that he was like, he got to act like a guy who can't act. So that was great. Then going backwards, the next movie is Match Point, the Woody Allen film Match Point, starring Scarlett Johansson in 2005. So this is a couple of years coming off of Lost in Translation. She's right in her I'm a brand new star with a big fan base period. Mm-hmm. And obviously she's still a big star, but that movie opened in January of 2006 to 2.7. It got to $23 million domestic, and it made another $64 million overseas. This is probably the biggest hit of the three in that it got to $87.9 million worldwide. Mm-hmm. But so much of that is the Woody Allen international fan base. I mean,
Listen,
when I was in Paris last year, Rifkin's Festival was still playing 10 times a day in almost every theater in Paris. So he's got his international fans.
Absolutely.
So that would be the hit. And I feel like the tennis in that is the least tennis-y of these three movies. Cause then the other one, which I guess this is the one you watched. Did you watch Wimbledon 2004? Okay.
Yep. Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, Kirsten Dunst, like right in the middle of Spider-Man trilogy. And what did you think of this movie when you rewatched it? What made you rewatch this movie?
It just came up on one of the streamers, and I was like, it's a romantic comedy, Kirsten Dunst. I wasn't at all like, oh, tennis movie.
Okay.
You know, I remember seeing it a few years ago and liking it. So I just put it on again and I watched it and I liked it. It's a thoroughly pleasant movie with a thoroughly pleasant lead. Although she is not, I mean, she's the romantic interest. She's not, she's the co-lead, but it really does follow the male protagonist a little bit more because it's his sort of last go around and she's coming up. So okay. The culminating, not to spoil anything from 2004's Wimbledon, the culminating match is between him and someone else, not her and someone else.
Interesting. Okay. That's, I mean, I think I've never seen this, but the marketing of this movie is forever vivid in my mind. You know, this is possibly deathbed marketing Wimbledon, surprisingly enough, that this is one of those posters that will flash in my head.
Her head on the racket.
Her head on the racket. Yes. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, but even if I hadn't, you know, yesterday you asked me, B.O. Boy Pat, what is the poster of Wimbledon? I said, Kirsten Dunst laughing, her head is on a racket.
And head on a racket.
I think Kirsten Dunst in a tennis uniform is the selling point of that movie back then. So I think that could be one where maybe audiences, I don't have it in front of me, but I can imagine the cinema score for Wimbledon, the exit polls might have been a little lower if she wasn't actually the main focus of the movie, because the marketing was Kirsten Dunst in a tennis outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie opened to $7 million, so the biggest opening of these three movies.
Yeah.
And got to $16 million domestic, made another $24 million foreign, so $41 million worldwide. So, I mean, none of those movies, those tennis movies, blew the doors off the box office. Tennis just didn't. And of course, I mean, last one actually I'll throw in here, King Richard in 2021.
Oh boy.
$5.4 million opening weekend, got to 15 domestic total. You know, it was a Best Picture nominee. And was there anything else notable about King Richard at the Oscars? I don't have it in front of me.
Can't think of anything.
But another one that just didn't connect. I mean, that was HBO Day and Date. It was still COVID-y box office, but either way, the Williams sisters dad biopic, also not a huge box office hit. So all that said, tennis doesn't have a standout. There's one more I just want to throw out here, though there's no box office for it. I did just want to say its name and note the 1989 VHS short comedy parody release, Dirty Tennis, starring Dick Van Patten. It was capitalizing on Dick Van Patten post Eight is Enough, and it was written by Van Patten's son. And it's like sort of Dorf for tennis.
Okay.
If you remember the Dorf golf films.
The Dorf golf films? Of course.
Yes.
What a dumb question.
Of course. We all remember the commercials for the Dorf films. Whether we've ever seen a Dorf film or not, it's a big part of our brain.
Anytime you put your knees on a pair of shoes and pretend Dorf to be shorter.
Yep.
I think of Dorf. I speak his name.
Yes. And it seems like it's a movie, a VHS release that got some good reviews. Chicago Sun-Times gave it 3 stars and said Dirty Tennis adds up to 33 minutes of malicious enjoyment. It is downright nasty and therefore thoroughly delightful. So Dirty Tennis, a video nasty, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, but no box office. So Dirty Tennis isn't the movie that changes the narrative on tennis at the box office, unfortunately.
No. So this is going to be about her.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the biggest question mark, because this movie has, I think it's so forefronted in our mind, but how forefronted in the minds of the audience is it?
Right. I mean, I think that it's got a lot of things going for it that take a mainstream. Zendaya, obviously. Zendaya, a month and a half or what is this, maybe 6 weeks, 7 weeks after the opening of Dune Part Two and the run that had, that raises her awareness to moviegoers, to Joe Lunchpail and Susie Crochet. I think that this is one of those movies that got moved from last fall to this year because of the Hollywood work stoppages and the studio wanting it to be released at a time when the actors could get out there. So I think those are, you know, I mean, I guess those are mostly trade articles being written, but I feel like that was some extra news about this movie that may have seeped into the stacks, may have gotten to the plain billies. Hey, this was that movie we were supposed to get last year. And people have been getting trailers for it for a really long time.
Oh, yes. Because of the delay.
So yeah. I do think there is just awareness of this movie based on trailers for this have probably been playing since last summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's whether or not people know this is the weekend. This is the weekend for it. Mm. They have to know that. And I'll tell you what, though, Pat, looking at Zendaya's Instagram, and she has 184 million followers.
Okay, that's a lot. That's more than, we'll admit it, that's more than the BO Boys podcast has, which actually, yeah, I don't know if we have an Instagram. I think we've foregone Instagram. So,
and it's more than Dick Van Patten has, for sure.
Yeah, now for
at
sure.
This point,
but I mean,
at this point,
if Instagram existed in 1989 when Dirty Tennis was released on VHS, it's a fairer fight.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're thinking that, you know, how do people get to know this movie's out? 184 million people scroll through Instagram and are seeing Challenger's content, right? So
yeah,
there's an awareness there. In a way that, you know, TV spots are important. Obviously, those sort of ad spends need to be made in order for movies to be hits. But there is, she is at a level of star online,
right,
in social media terms, that can make a push. And I mean, one of the reasons Dune 2, obviously, it was a superior film. It was very beautifully shot. It's like, you know, it's a great experience, but you did have like Zendaya tweeting about it or Instagram posting about it. You had, you know, Timothy Chalamet Instagram posting about it. So you, and you had all these like people who have high followings doing that. So I do think that that does play a part. So the awareness to the core fan is definitely there. And there's got to be people who are just casual fans of her that follow her Instagram as well.
Right, right. Yeah.
But do they plunk down the money, right?
Do they plunk down the money? Well, is this a movie?
Because hold on, I came up with a really good one. Because IGs aren't ICs.
Wait, right?
IGs aren't ICs.
Like I see it. Got it.
Like IGs aren't ICs. So like that's like I sees this or I, you know, right?
Oh, so you're thinking I sees this with my eyes.
I sees this with my eyes.
Not I sees the day.
I don't seize the day.
Got it. Okay. No, that works. That that totally works. Whether it's a t-shirt or not at our merch table, we'll see. But IGs does not equal ICs. And it's I-S-E-E-S. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but we will find out if that's true. Mm-hmm. You just came up with that phrase, that rule, but challengers will prove it this weekend. But yeah, she creates awareness. Her in this setting, I think, appeals to her fan base, because as much as being in the Spider-Man movies is gigantic, as much as being in the Dune movies is gigantic, her fan base is still probably the Euphoria crowd is who loves her the most, you know, in terms of things she's acted in. That might be the thing that people are most passionate about Zendaya in. And Challengers feels like a perfect way to feed that audience. You know, young, sexy times movie, not a sex movie. This is not Dirty Tennis. But in a way, it is Dirty Tennis.
I mean, if this was called Dirty Tennis, I would not blink an eye. And I think it was Dick Van Patten's people who said, hey, now, Luke.
Right.
Or what Guadino. Was his name?
Yeah. Luca Guadino. Yeah, they spoke to the Dirty Tennis folks.
There's
yeah.
already a Dirty Tennis motherfucker.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the producers of Dirty Tennis, they are full-on threatening, cursing.
They're sons
okay,
of they're bitches, like gangsters. For sure.
You could see that there was some mafia money behind the 1989 VHS tennis parody, Dirty Tennis. I could imagine the mafia was involved. And I say that with all due respect.
You know,
great investment for the
they
mafia.
They made sure nothing bad happened on set.
Exactly. None of Van Patten's sons are going to have an accident as long as you let us invest in the film. Because that's all they wanted. They didn't want to get paid. They wanted to be investors in Dirty
Tennis. They wanted just a slice of that Hollywood pie.
Yeah.
It's the American dream.
Yeah. And I hope that they triple their money, the mafia, on Dirty Tennis. But yeah, the Challengers could have been called Dirty Tennis if the Van Pattens and the Mafia had not already owned that copyright. So it is a movie that I think is promising some sexy times, which we've talked about it. It feels like that's coming back. I mean, Anyone But You was a romantic comedy, but I think the bigger sell of Anyone But You is look how hot these hot people are going to be. And there will be sexy times in it.
Yeah. And I think that has been what we've been saying is a strong motivation for people to go back to the theater with this.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, young, sexy people. I think they're making a comeback at the Cineplex, which is big. Yeah. And this being, you know, whatever, romantic comedy, I don't agree with. But like, even if it's a romantic drama, those movies have not been doing so well at the theaters in the past few years either. So this would be a comeback for that genre too.
Right. So I want to go to the B.O. Boys Substack, which of course was brought back by Wanna B.O. Junior Intern Jack. And he talks about a comparison that he made. Now, this is a romantic comedy he brings up, but I think in terms of what he sees as the trajectory, he gives a comp of No Hard Feelings. And he said, last summer, No Hard Feelings marked Jennifer Lawrence's first solo-led film since Red Sparrow. Performed modestly by its own standards, opens $15 million before reaching $50 million domestically, $87 million worldwide against a $45 million budget, before gaining traction on Netflix and PVOD. And he says, I anticipate similar, if not slightly higher numbers for Challengers. All the pieces are in place. Marketing's been intriguing. Reviews are outstanding. Now it's up to the audience to show up. I love that from Jack at the end of his article. Puts it on the reader. I wrote this. Now you go out there and you do the work. You do your part, which is how any writer should be, which is, you know, I wrote, now go do. So good on Jack. But he brings up No Hard Feelings, which of course was a full-on comedy that did okay. You know, like you said, it got to 50 million. We all thought and hoped it would do a little more. But I like the comp in terms of the audience it was going after. And I do feel like a year later, a year removed from No Hard Feelings, that audience is more in control of the box office than they were a year ago. I think a year ago we were still in the final fumes of superhero movies.
Yeah.
And the audience for superheroes, that was then. But now I do think the younger audience has made it clear they want some sex and young stars at the box office. I mean, I think No Hard Feelings, if this was opening this June, does better business than it did a year ago.
Well, what I'll say there, and I think we've mentioned this on the show, and I'm not sure if it was one of us or one of our great esteemed guests who said this about No Hard Feelings, that it did grease the tracks for Anyone But You. It really was one of those things where it had to, you know, walk so that could run. I think that's going to be looked at as such a huge turning point when it comes to romantic comedies back in theaters, in that it did train people to start liking that, and they may not have seen it in the theater, and then they saw it on Netflix and were like, oh yeah, I wish I would have seen this in the theater. The next time a movie like this comes out, I'm going to see it. And that was Anyone But You. And I do think that, and I know this is something that Scott Mendelson, our tribal chief, said, that, yeah, that
acknowledge him, acknowledge, yeah, him.
These movie companies, these production companies, they have to put out movies and allow them to sort of fail in the theaters in order to train the audiences back into going to see these sorts of movies. And I think I wouldn't say No Hard Feelings was a straight up failure, but it was an underperformer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it was helping to train people to get back into theaters. So if we have that situation with Challengers, because Zendaya is a star, I will say definitively she is a star.
Yeah, yeah.
But tennis isn't huge. Romantic dramas aren't huge. You know,
Mike Feist isn't a name co-star in any way. So the guys in this movie are totally superfluous. They could be great actors. Mike Feist was great in West Side Story, but
yeah,
no name recognition for either of the guys.
Well, isn't the other one Jack O'Connor or something like that? Isn't that his name?
Is he Jack O'Connor or Josh O'Brien or Josh O'Connor?
Look that up while I continue speaking. The director has also never had a hit. Really. So that, I mean, Call Me By Your Name was beloved, but not a hit necessarily. So yeah, I think this could be a movie that trains people to get back into the theater and want something like this. The only difference is Jennifer Lawrence is a huge star and will remain a huge star forever, but she's not as hot in the zeitgeist as Zendaya is. You know,
yes.
This is Zendaya hitting the moment,
yes,
where she needs to have a big hit. Like, this is the moment for her. And yeah. I mean, again, if this does not do Bafa Bobo, it's not like she can't be a movie star, because she's already proven that she's a great screen presence. So, but I do think that this is like what we're saying about Ryan Gosling, in that it's the movie of the moment that is really hitting at a certain peak that either is going to take them to the next level or not.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And Josh, so it is Josh O'Connor. So it was a mix of all the names we threw out there, and he's been on.
If he mattered, we would have known.
We would have known whether he was Josh, Jack, O'Connor, O'Brien, O'Doul. Yeah. We would have known.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on him. And maybe after this movie opens up, then maybe we will know, or we won't, but we'll see this weekend. So this is just quickly on the Jennifer Lawrence thing, if this movie opens, I mean, I think Sydney Sweeney already should have done this, sent a thank you note to Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a gift. It's not like she has to get her a Corvette or something, but you send her a thank you note. You say thank you for the naked beach fighting scene in No Hard Feelings. And I think if this movie opens well, Zendaya could also send a similar note to Jennifer Lawrence. Hey, I hope Sydney Sweeney sent a note, but in case she didn't, thank you for the naked beach fighting scene.
Well, but it's in a comedy. Like, I don't think she owes Jennifer Lawrence anything.
Not you don't think she owes her a note?
Arrangement? No, she doesn't owe her.
Okay.
A note. Sydney Sweeney owes her a note for sure.
Okay. Okay.
Or like a spa day.
That's nice. A spa day. That's the way to go. Okay. So there, we could quickly touch on, there is another movie opening this weekend that WannaBO Junior Intern Jack is, he's got this movie opening second in his predictions.
Well, don't sleep on it. It's faith-based. It's faith-based.
Well, are you, as a grown-up baby who likes movies, are you excited to see Unsung Hero starring Joel Smallbone, who directs, stars, and writes it?
That's such a bad question to ask, because I'm not the main target for this. I don't see faith-based movies, but a lot of America sees faith-based movies, and it's based on a gentleman who does music, and I can only imagine in 2018 was an insane hit, $83.4 million, and that was based on a musician's life. So I feel like this is not going to reach those heights, but it's definitely going to do some business here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the predictions all seem to be around, you know, the range here is 6 to 10 million. It's budgeted only 6 million. So, I mean, this is going to be a hit. It's not a Jesus Revolution situation where you've got such a well-known star like a Kelsey Grammer, Ordinary Angels had Hilary Swank and the guy who plays Reacher. So this movie doesn't have Joel Richardson. This movie doesn't
Alan Richardson.
Yeah. Say his name.
Richardson.
Josh Alshon Richardson.
Yeah. Oh, that's his name. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Called by his name, Pat.
Oh, listen, you're right. In honor of Luca Guadagnino, I will call him by his name.
I can't believe you could get Luca Guadagnino right in all other
Italian,
names wrong.
Italian.
That's
Italian.
Okay.
Yeah, there he's from the neighborhood. He's from the old neighborhood. But this movie, I mean, it's almost predestined to be a financial success because it's budgeted like 8 million, opens 5 to 8, end up doing its 15 million total. And then BAFA PVOD, I'm sure. Or honestly, BAFA DVD sold in churches. So,
oh, yeah. VHS. I mean, this thing's going to be passed around on VHS probably.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they tape over old copies of Dirty Tennis starring Dick Van Patten?
Yeah. If you break off the little tab, you just got to break that little tab and you can record over any video. That's a little hack for you, kids. If you're trying to record over your old VHSs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, at this point, if you want to just record over your parents' wedding videos, go for it. Are they still watching it? I can't imagine they're still watching it.
No.
So that's coming out this weekend. Clayton, we're going to do our top five predictions. I do, because we are so backed up, I do want to read some emails.
Great.
That we've gotten, because we have so many amazing emails. So I'm just going to randomly start going through and we'll do some quick hits here.
Yeah.
So wannabe oh boy, Eric, subject line Challenger's Fever. And he says, hey guys. And then
hey guys. Waves,
hey guys. Last week I was on the subway and a pair of 70 plus ladies with playbills in their hands sat near me the door. So he is New York City. Love it. Coastal Elite, Eric. Pair of 70 plus ladies with playbills in their hands sat next to me. The door opened at one of the stops, revealing a banner ad for Challengers. And one of the ladies exclaimed, Challengers, I want to see that. That's playing with Zendaya. Pronounced wrong.
Yeah.
This was interesting to witness. I'm not sure how they knew about Zendaya, but I feel it can't just be these two ladies. Sometimes oldsters just know about stuff, even if you don't expect them to, and don't know how they found out. I worked at a theater when Barbenheimer was opening, observed that senior citizens want to be in the know and talk about an important event movie. Challengers doesn't have a hindrance to block it from crossing over, such as Capes or being the 10th entry in a series. Eric, oldsters, Clayton, are oldsters going to make a little bit of a difference this weekend? I mean, I could see the book club crowd being interested in Challengers for sure.
Well, when was tennis at its hottest, right? Tennis as a sport was probably at its hottest in the 70s, right?
You think?
Yeah, McEnroe, like 70s, 80s, Bjorn Borg, that sort of situation. Like, obviously, the Andre Agassi, Sampras, and there has been six, you know, tennis has been hot in other eras. But I think when you think of tennis and you think of those definitive sort of images of tennis, you're thinking of those, the 70s and the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when these people were young and spry, and they may still watch Wimbledon every year and be like, oh, I know that girl from I see her on my granddaughter's, you know, IG feed. Like,
right.
There's ways that people will know. I mean, I think that means a lot that people that old, even though they are a coastal elite. So we have to sort of give them credit because they are,
they're not old plain billies. They're not old stacksters
because,
you know, they have playbills in their hands.
They go to Broadway shows and then they're on the subway a lot and they see ads. Like, that is a way to know when movies are coming out, is if you are on the subway, there's no way you won't know when certain big movies are coming out, because as soon as you walk out of the car, you're going to see plastered on a wall a big poster. So that is something that they're going to have awareness of that a plain billy won't, because if they're just in their pickup truck, they're going to go miles and miles and miles and miles without anything to look at other than grass and hay and dust and things like that. So they're not going to have that immediate, you know, billboard. There's no billboard for Challengers in the middle of a corn field, you know?
I was going to ask that because, you know, you're from Plain Billy country, and I was going to ask, are there movie billboards out in the plains, you know, out in the stacks, or is it just billboards for local businesses, car repair
shops? Yeah, like local lawyers, Jesus ones, you know.
Right.
Ads for Jesus.
Well, the billboards are cheap, so he's using his marketing budget wisely. So I could see, though, overall oldsters being into this. Even in the, if you're a plain billy oldster, there is always the desire to feel young, and I think being in the know with Zendaya will do that for them. Quickie, just to so that we could read this email that's been here for a while, Immaculate Scam from Wannabe O Boy Oren. Hey guys. It's Wannabe O Boy Oren. Looking at movie times on a Regal app for my local theater, noticed something I want to share. There were special showings of Immaculate priced at $6.66. $6.66. I know we're all big fans of scams around here, huh? And wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, my thought is that's great. I would love to. My thought is I wish we could get the data on how much of the Immaculate box office came from the 666 showings. That would be the type of thing that's really useful.
Variable pricing was one of those things that we talked about with Playmobil at the very beginning of this podcast when we first started doing it. It never caught on. I understand, like, you know, you have the Taylor Swift 1989 pricing. You know, those sort of, I wouldn't call them necessarily scams. They're more gimmicks because, well, the Taylor Swift pricing was a scam. This is a gimmick because it actually is cheaper than a normal movie. The Taylor Swift 1989 for a lot of places in the country was an insane price raise, but she doesn't care about that because she doesn't care if kids have winter.
Save box office.
Coats or not.
Wow. Okay. We're going to get off of that one because the, you know, her new album just dropped and this is not the time to start throwing she keeps kids from having winter coats accusations at her.
She does. It's a fact. Well, here's the other thing. Do you think the dropping of the Taylor Swift album will affect the box office in any way? And I would ask that only because Taylor Swift is such a high level of stardom, and this is such a big deal when a new album comes out. Will some of the Zendaya fans be at home cryptically reading into these lyrics to try and figure out if it's about the 1975 guy or not and not go to the theater this weekend? Or do you think there's been enough time for them to already do that and go to the theater?
I think that happened last weekend. The album dropped last, Friday? And I think you could look at that as a movie that affected last weekend's box office for sure. I think that
so Abigail suffered because of Taylor Swift.
You know, we didn't.
So another child who suffered because of Taylor Swift's greed.
Wow. Okay. throw this one out here real quick. So wanna be oh boy. Well, actually it says don't credit me because I work in the business. So, and I don't, okay. So we won't say the name. We will not say the name, but
we will not call you by your name.
We will not call you by your name, by your choice. So subject: Rosemary's Baby reboot. Hey guys.
Hey guys.
Don't credit me because I work in the business and don't want to get called a leaker, but it's also common knowledge. Apartment 7A is a Rosemary's Baby prequel, should come out this year. So we were talking a few episodes ago when I guess first Omen came out. What are the 70s horror IPs that matter? I said that Rosemary's Baby would be, I think, a well-known one, that if that came out, it would be sort of a big deal. And there is a movie in Apartment 7A that is set to come out. I'm just seeing if it has any stars. John Krasinski produced it. Julia Garner is the star.
Okay.
And the film is set to center around a young dancer who rents a room from an elderly couple. And Bloody Disgusting reported that it is a prequel to the 1968 Rosemary's Baby. So there is Rosemary's Baby IP. I'm not finding any release dates for this movie. Reshoots took place in April and May 2023. It's a Paramount production. So Diane Wiest is in this film.
That's big.
So there is a Rosemary's Baby prequel coming out, and we will see if it ever does come out. I mean, I'm not super confident based on when this was filmed and the fact that it's, I don't see a date for it.
It might not be going to be a big movie at this point.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So let's see. From Wannabe a Boy Reed, Civil War boots on the ground. So Civil War after work last night, largest theater, only 8 people are there. As someone who was in journalism for 20 years, it was an unrealistic interpretation of the profession. I couldn't get past that. Probably how doctors feel when they watch ER or Grey's Anatomy. So Reed out there as a journalist and doesn't feel like Civil War did his people right. So thank you for letting us know that. Reed, boots on the ground reporting from a real reporter. You don't get better than that. We've got Wannabe Oh Boy Tyler says, boys, I will be seeing the new Planet of the Apes movie during its opening weekend for one reason, Mother's Day. My animal loving mother has seen every movie in the franchise, so I will be going to see it with her that weekend. So moms loving these apes in a couple of weeks. Thank you for that email. We've got one from one of our faves, Clayton. This subject is Pixar Father's Day. And he says, I had a laugh when you guys were discussing Inside Out 2 with the guy who loved The Flash last summer. Of course, he means Jeff Bach. Mm-hmm. And it was mentioned that Pixar's biggest release in years is coming out on a Father's Day weekend. What a gift from Disney to the divorced Pixar dads. Glad I am not one of them. Sean, alcoholic. So Clayton, it's something that you years ago on a different podcast took Toy Story 4 to task that Pixar didn't release it on Father's Day weekend, but Inside Out 2, as Sean the alcoholic mentions, will be released on Father's Day weekend this year. So do you think that, does that rectify the Toy Story 4 situation for you?
Oh, it will never be rectified. I will always boycott that movie. I've never seen Forky in action. So listen, Pixar knows that they can no longer play their petty games. They have to have this thing be a hit, and Father's Day is when it's going to be a hit. You know, they could play around with Toy Story 4 because they were high on the hog. They no longer can do that. Mm-hmm. They're crawling back mm-hmm. to the domestic market, because the reason why they didn't do it last time was because they wanted to maximize their overseas money. They didn't care about us here in America. So I think they're now crawling back and saying, oh yeah, we always did Father's Day. We always did. And it's like, no, I remember. And wow. Our fans will
Clayton
remember.
Oh, okay. So you're going to reignite this.
No, I'm just saying one of the reasons we do this podcast is obviously to root for all movies to fail because we hate movies and we want theaters to, oh wait, that's not what we do this. We do this because we want the health and wellness of the theaters to thrive. And we love when movies do well. And we think they should be released in the appropriate windows. And when Toy Story 4 wasn't, I was angry and I'm still angry because you got to stay angry because the only way you know you're alive.
Yes. Yes. Good point. And we'll see if Inside Out 2 opening on Father's Day weekend increases the box office and in any way decreases Clayton's anger. We will know that in June and it's going to be very exciting. We got this one from wannabe oh boy Jason, subject Henry Cavill's popularity. About
again,
HC's
Luca,
popularity.
You can do fucking, but you can't do Henry.
It's Henry Cavill's not from the old neighborhood. He's not from the old neighborhood. I never ran into Henry Cavill at the old pork store in the old neighborhood. So about HC's popularity, I think part of it is he's beloved, all caps, beloved by nerds. During the pandemic, he painted 40,000 minis and made sourdough. He left The Witcher because he thought it was drifting from the source material too much, etc. Nerds love him. Nerds make movies. Keep up the good work. Wannabe oh boy, Jason. So, I mean, the nerds didn't come out in force to see the ungentlemanly warfare Guy Ritchie movie that Cavill was in last weekend.
Okay. So it's so late in the podcast to start talking about this because I'm also running out of space on my hard drive, I guess. I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
with my computer.
Amazing.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The power that was once the nerds is waning. I'll just say that. And that is for another time, another conversation, because we have to get to our top fives. But what nerds like, that does not matter as much as it did pre-COVID.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. The nerds are not as powerful as they once were, 100%.
Yeah.
So we've got more emails. We'll get to them in future episodes. Keep sending us emails, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Clayton, you are itching to predict a top five for this weekend, Challengers weekend. So I'm going to send it to you. Do you have a top five? Do you have a number for Challengers?
Yes. So, you know, MGM has been doing a pretty good job recently with promoting their films. Obviously, having Amazon in their corner, you know, they can really push stuff to everybody. Zendaya, being somebody who has 184 million IG followers, I think that this movie, I think this movie is going to make it to 19. I think it'll open at $19 million in its first weekend.
Wow, love it.
Number two, Unsung Heroes. I do think is going to do well. I'm going to go 11 on that.
Oh, wow. Okay, very high on that.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then I think that Civil War is going to make around...
What movie?
Civil War is going to make around $7 million in its... What? This will be its third weekend.
Third weekend for Snipple, yeah.
And then I'm going to go with the collab. I think the collab is still going to be strong. And then I'm going to give it to Abigail at number five.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. So I'm going to go, of course, number one, Challengers. It just has to be. I'm going to go higher. I think it hits 21.
Okay.
I think it could get there. That Instagram number, when you said it, it smacked me in the face.
Yeah.
And I spit a 21 out when my face shifted from the smack.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to hit 21. And then number two, is it going to be, I think Snivel War does take a hit from Challengers because Snivel War, the thing it had going for it was the conversation and the sort of like it's the young people movie to talk about and see.
Yeah.
So I think Challengers hurts it. So I'll go Unsung Hero second, but I'm lower than you. I'll go 8 on Unsung Hero. Then I'm going Collab.
Okay.
I think Collab, which was only 2 million behind Civil War last weekend.
Yeah.
And I think the hip, you know, teens, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, the old people who go to plays, they were going to Civil War last weekend. They're going to Challengers. So I think number 3 is the Collab, Godzilla X Kong. Number 4 is Civil War. And number 5, oh no, that would be it. It would be Challengers number 1, then Unsung, then Collab, then Civil War, and then Abigail.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abigail number 5.
Okay. Yeah.
So that is the top 5. Huge, huge weekend coming up. This Challengers number obviously is not going to write the whole story of the movie. It needs to have legs, but the opening weekend number is a big deal for this.
It's going to be,
this opens to like 13. We're going to have a knot in our stomach on Monday if this opens at 13.
I mean, if it doesn't open number 1, which feels nearly impossible, it feels like this is a slam dunk unless it completely craters and Unsung does Bafa crazy numbers, or right, Civil War holds in such an insane way. Like, yeah, this is going to be the number 1 movie in America, so it's going to have that. But will the headline say underwhelming $12 million or whatever? You know, it's like, this, right, is not the thing we got to remember too, is that it's a tennis movie and it's a romantic drama. So it's not necessarily the like slam doink of all slam doinks to be a big hit. But I do think if it, right, makes the hot in the high teens or low 20s, this will be looked at as a success. And then there will be more buzz for people to see this movie.
Right, right. The thing is, yes, it is a tennis movie. We went through a huge track record for tennis movies at the box office. I mean, as recently as 1989, big stars like Dick Van Patten, when they did a 36-minute tennis parody instructional video, it had to go to VHS.
Hot off 8 is enough.
Right. Hot off 8. I mean, honestly, in a way, the Zendaya.
Oh, it's Euphoria. I mean, 8 is enough was the Euphoria of that time.
Exactly. Exactly. You had a big star like Dick Van Patten, like Zendaya now. You had a big star going from the hot TV show straight into a tennis film. You know, that case, again, was a 36-minute instructional tennis parody. But still, and that had to be on VHS. So that is the history of tennis movies right there, Dirty Tennis. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Will Dirty Tennis 2024 perform better than Dirty Tennis 1989?
That's the question on everybody's lips.
Yeah, and 1989, Taylor Swift. So The numbers add up. So email us, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on social media at @theboboyspod. WannaBO senior intern Christopher is killing it with the vertical video clips on Twitter X and on TikTok, which may be illegal soon. I don't know. We have to look into that.
TikTok will be illegal, yes.
I mean, Christopher, obviously, he's listening to this. He has to listen to everything that we say. Christopher, of course, look into the TikTok situation. I don't know if you maybe have to go to Congress, you know, go to the steps of the Capitol, get some answers. But Christopher, I'm saying to do that on his own with just, you know, asking questions. Mm-hmm. So Christopher, find out what the deal is with the TikTok ban, so that we know where to send our listeners to watch vertical video clips. And of course, WannaBO junior intern Jack brought back the Substack. Read his weekend preview. It's a doozy. And of course, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. We've got some Apple Podcast reviews that we'll read on an upcoming episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a segment devoted to that. So this is your time. Give us a 5-star review, leave a review, love the show, blah, 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 and we will read that on air. So some Apple reviews will be read on a upcoming episode. And that's it, Clayton. There's nothing else we could say.
Oh, we're on no other platforms. Absolutely none.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing else to say.
Except for, until next time,
we'll smell you at the box office.